share with you my story? Would you share your dollar with me?
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. You're listening to WGN Radio. Hi, I'm John Williams. Pete Zimmerman's the producer, and the phone number's 312-981-7200. Give us a call. You've got a question, a comment, an observation. You can text in, too. Best if you call 312-981-7200. And ask your questions to Terry Savage, the nationally syndicated financial columnist. Visit terrysavage.com as she joins us now. Hi, Terry. Welcome back.
Oh, good to be with you.
I was reading your column about just kind of weathering the winter weather and getting through this sort of phase two of the pandemic with your finances, especially since the government's in no hurry to help out. In general, what are you talking about here, Terry?
Well, basically, I'm saying that when you look at the stock market at new highs thereabouts, it looks like, hallelujah, everything's okay, happy days are here again. And the market, as we've discussed many times, always looks beyond the immediate to what's coming next, what will impact earnings 6 months out and 9 months out. But real ordinary people who don't have a stimulus yet, and I have no news, I mean, I get emails from people and calls saying, when's that next stimulus check coming? They have not voted on it yet. They haven't gotten together on it. In fact, the chairman of Chase, Jamie Dimon, just made headlines saying, come on, Congress, you're acting like a bunch of kids. Get your act together. But you have to live for the next 4 months. And I divided this into two categories. The millions upon millions, well, still 10-plus million people collecting unemployment, more that deserve it but haven't gotten through, and others that have run out, are now running out of unemployment, people who are in real trouble financially, and then others who have some assets in their 401k plans and mortgages and houses who have to make different decisions. So where do you want to start, rich folks, poor folks?
Let's start with the regular folks.
Regular folks? Okay, regular folks, there's no one out there who doesn't know someone, and if you don't, open your eyes because they're somewhere near, who's struggling. And these people, if they can only get through the next 4 months, till spring, till you see the daffodils. At one stage in my life, that was a goal for me in a tough time. And I think if we can all make it through winter, till the daffodils bloom again, not to be too poetic about it, there'll be a lot more hope and opportunity and restaurants reopening and businesses starting over again. But that's a long way to go. The mortgage foreclosure prevention ends, the one that Trump just instituted by executive order, till at the end of the year. Eviction notices similarly. Well, that's like 6 weeks away. So there, it's really important. I know there are a lot of people losing hope, that those who do have some assets reach out to family members and help them get through this. There are a lot of people that don't have family members, of course. And, don't let me forget, by the way, to update you on that IDA thing on the mortgage assistance.
Oh, yeah,
we'll
right.
Later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've been working on that.
But your point is, don't leave yourself unawares. The hard deadline
is
coming.
No, this is the moment. This is not throwing money down a hole if you have a nephew, a son, an uncle, an older person in your family that's going to have trouble paying the bills this month and next month. They will get back to work and get back to income in 4 months. We got to make it through the winter. And if you have a mortgage that's behind, you have to stay in touch with your bank. They are willing to work on you because the banks don't want to write these things off. They don't want to trigger a financial calamity. They don't want to show these losses on their books. So they will extend because this is not just you're in trouble. The whole world, the class of people is in trouble with mortgages and so forth. Similarly, talk to your landlord because all those, unless Congress does something, all those preventive measures from disaster will end at the end of the year. Okay?
What about people who have a little bit of money?
Okay. So I think back to, you remember March and April when the market was plummeting, and I know lots of you said, if I could only get back to even, I wouldn't be in this position anymore. Look, I don't know if the market's going on up over 30,000. Dr. Bob Fralick, who we had on earlier this year, is grinning ear to ear because he said it would be over 30,000 by year end. But this is not about where the market goes. This is about, come on now, you're even. Nobody ever dreamed, I would have bet you $100 against it, that the market would be even from where we were and maybe even a bit higher. So this is about you. This is a time, if you've got your 401k, if you rolled over to an IRA, that you think about how much could you afford to lose if something went wrong. I don't think anything's going wrong. I hope everything goes right, but you have to think about where your own investments are. And this is the perfect moment to do it because you can't be frozen in fear because you're even again. And the other thing is people who have mortgages have been waiting. This is the time to refinance. If we do have growth again, interest rates are going to climb, and that means mortgage rates will climb.
Yeah.
So don't dilly-dally. This is the moment to do that refinance.
Funny number we saw yesterday, 27% of Americans don't know what their mortgage rate is. 80% of people who could have not refinanced. You'd think that ship would have sailed a long time ago, but it's why our friend David Hochberg is still busy, because people... are still catching up on that very, I'll say, easy thing to do. It's a pain in the butt to put it together, but for many people, so I hear, it's a good idea.
Oh, absolutely. That ship is going to sail. When it does, and when Treasury rates rise again, you're going to kick yourself. And it'll make headlines. You'll know about it then. Oh, mortgage refinancing slow because rates rise. Go now. Just go. Go find out. Go to David. Go to Guaranteed Rate. Go to Rocket Mortgage. Go start the process. It's not that hard.
All right, Terry, everybody's calling in. You ready to roll?
I'm ready to rock and roll.
Terry Savage, terrysavage.com, National and Syndicated Financial Columnist, joins us Wednesdays at this time. We'll start with Karen. Karen, how can we help you? You're on the air.
Hi, I would have saved this for the bright side of life, except it happened today.
Yeah.
I just opened my mail, two positives. I got my stimulus check today. It's dated October 30th, but at least I got it. And I also was able to speak with somebody on the phone at IDES, and her name was Lorraine, and she was very pleasant and just seemed like a happy, regular person. She wasn't, you know, like she was bored and had to deal with one more person. So I just wanted to mention those two positives.
I'm really glad you did. Did you get it as a card or a paper check? You said you got a check.
I got a check, yeah.
How about that, Terry?
And did you get, and when did you apply for unemployment, and have you been receiving it? Why were you calling them? IDES.
Well, I left. So I was a teacher, and I was out from March 6th. But it took me forever. I was one of the people that actually called you at the beginning. I was just looking through my payments. I had received no payment until June, and then it was like $4,000 only. So I was out of work March, April, May. Finally, in June, I got some money, but then nothing until just last week. And then
what did this wonderful woman, Lorraine, or whatever it was, what did she say to you? What did the IDES woman say?
So she helped me out. She said, so my weeks had run out, and I said, so what do I do now? I said, I'm looking for a job, but, you know, and she said, well, it's been extended for 13 weeks or until December 26th. So she said December 26th is going to come first, so that's when it's ending. And then I heard you guys talking about that before, about, you know, they have to get together.
Did she tell you you're going to get your back payments?
So I did, actually, yes. I just got some. So I got a big chunk of it, like, last week, and then I called to let her know that the job that I did have for, like, 6 weeks at a school that they closed as well. So I, like, had to reapply for it.
Okay, so you buried the lead. The lead is you got your money. I don't know if you got the $600 extra you were supposed to get, but anybody who gets money out of IDES now that's had a problem, going to give you a big hug virtually and say, count your blessings.
Karen, thanks for the phone call. I'm glad.
Thank you.
I'm glad you not only had all that happen, but that you shared it with us. Terry, how long have you been saying, be patient, be patient? And
the stimulus checks, I knew the IRS would get around to it. Painful. And can I make a comment on stimulus checks for all of you who are out there? Remember, they looked at 2018 first, and if you made too much money, because you didn't file 2019 until probably July. So maybe you didn't get a stimulus check because you didn't qualify in 2018. But maybe 2019, which you filed in July, you did qualify. Or, this is the big headline, suppose in 2020 you qualified based on income. And in April, you will, of course, take your college-age kids off as dependents. Have them file a return for 2020. You'll file your return. And if you qualified based on 2020 income where you were out of work and your kids had too low of an income, you will each be able to claim a credit for your stimulus check when you file your 2020 return, the year now ending, next April, which is only 4 or 5 months away. So you may yet get your stimulus check. There are three ways to do it. You had to be qualified before, then you had to search for it like this woman did. But now you get a third chance next spring when you file your 2020 return. So here's a heads up. You're going to be getting your tax stuff together in December. For sure, I'll write a column. Make sure you let your college-age kids file independently in 2020. Then they, too, should qualify for the full stimulus check based on 2020 income. It has nothing to do with whatever Congress does next.
And will that be a line on your form, and then you'll either owe less in taxes or get a refund in that amount?
That's the goal. I mean, the IRS is, you know, on a scale of 1 to 100, the IRS is probably up there at 92 or 93. They've had their hassles, but they've gotten through. Where the Illinois Unemployment Department is down at 19 on my grading scale.
Can we play the audio from a caller last week, Pete? A gentleman called in and said this.
You know, back in September, Terry, the governor announced Illinois Department housing grants for renters and mortgage holders.
Yes.
We applied, a lot of us in the neighborhood applied, we're all struggling, we're all furloughed for the mortgage assistance, made it by literally that 9 a.m. Monday morning, we were all on, did our thing, we got the email, success, your documents have been submitted. They said 3 to 4 weeks, we've been waiting now. Now their website has a little blurb on there basically saying, don't bother calling, we can't give you any information over the phone. You just have to wait. And now we're going into November, and we don't even know if we did get it or if we're not. And, you know, I keep calling the bank to extend our mortgage grace period,
yeah.
You know, and they've been great, you know, but now we don't know. We're stuck with the governor's office and Illinois Department of Housing. How do we even know if we're being considered?
That's the kind of project I like to take on.
Terry, did you take it on?
Yes, I did. I started the minute we got, I thought, I was no better time to do this than now when we get off the air. And I have been exchanging emails with a very nice but somewhat reluctant guy. So remember I gave IRS a 92?
Yeah.
I don't want to offend him anyway. And the house and unemployment a 19. I'm going to give IDA, Illinois Housing Development Authority, of 79 or 80 on the score. Let me tell you what I now know. First of all, those people who are going to get rental assistance, rental, not mortgage, which our listener called in about, you will be notified by Friday, November 20th. I mean, that's like in a minute and a half, in two more days, if you were going to get that $5,000 check, all right? And that will be sent directly to your landlord. For all of the people who, like Mike, our caller, who are applied for, it's an unusual amount. It was applied to be made whole on your arrearages and so forth in your mortgage, so it wasn't just like a $5,000 per renter. It's taken a while, according to them, because they had to check with the lenders. There were 19,000 applications.
Wow.
10,000 of them, so about half of them, will get money. You will know because they will send an email to you. 4,300 people have already been given $36 million
wow.
in mortgage assistance.
Wow.
And another 5,700 will get $70 million, and you will get that by the end of the year. Okay? I don't know. I said, are you going to send an email to the half of the applicants that aren't getting it for one reason or another? And that was where our email trade left off, so I will pick it up again next week. It's been very hard to get this guy to answer
me. Terry, who qualifies?
And this went on all weekend.
Who qualifies for that mortgage assistance or rent or assistance?
Well, people who have reduced income or lost jobs based on COVID. So they have to document that, then they have to work with the lender.
Based on COVID, meaning that they got sick or their business shut down?
Yes, because a lot of people were salespeople. They can't make sales because of COVID, so it's reduced income. Or if you were ill, but any economic impact of COVID is enough to.
Well, my goodness, that's everybody. I mean, heck, you had the $2,700. I'm just totaling it up. $1,200, and then the $600, but you would also qualify for assistance on your mortgage if your income was impacted by COVID.
Oh yes, exactly. And the approval email goes directly to the homeowners, even though they were actually working with your lenders.
Okay, now that guy that called in, Mike, is he on line two?
He and I have talked on the phone a couple of times.
Mike, are you there? You're on WGN.
Oh, yes. Thanks, you guys. John, Terry, thank you. Amazing you are calling, giving us some hope.
You and I talked on the phone because you contacted me and gave me your phone number. It's their website. The reason they get a really not a great score is that not only is the EMA, Emergency Mortgage Assistance, EMA.IDA.org, that website is totally down. There's a couple of phone numbers if you call IDA. One says, are you calling about mortgage assistance? Don't talk to me. Call this number. You call that number, and it basically says, thanks for calling. We'll let you know about it. Goodbye. And it hangs up on you. So you can't get through it. I was speaking to their spokesperson, and I've been dragging this out. My last email, chain of emails, was titled "Working on Weekends to Help People." That's why I sent it to them on Saturday.
Mike, did you get a check, or are you going to?
We still haven't heard anything, but Terry's been lovely and so nice reaching out and helping us. So we have hope. You know, it's obvious that they're overwhelmed. We feel bad for them that they're so overwhelmed, but it's positive news that at least they're still working on these applications. It's not no news is good news so far for us. The thing that they updated was be careful if somebody calls you for fraud. We're getting little blurbs of updates there, but our bank's been great. I'm going to call them next week and give them another update. Hey, this is where we're at, and
on your mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Here's what I got to do. I'm going to let you go, Mike, but let's stay in touch. I want to follow your story, just as an example of how this is being handled. So,
thanks everybody.
Me too, Mike. Of course.
And talk to Pete a little bit about that off the air. Speaking of that kind of fraud, we're getting calls about that again today, and still more questions for Terry Savage. I have a few more minutes with Terry Savage. If Terry is quick with the answers and you are quick with the questions, we'll get through as many calls as we can before our next check of business news and numbers. All right, Terry, ready to dive back in, are you?
Speed round. Let's do it.
Let's start with Sam. You're on WGN. Sam, how can we help you?
Yeah, I called a few weeks ago, and I got cut off. Terry was supposed to give me her number so I could call her. I have a kind of a question about that with the you just talked about with Mike trying to get renter assistance for my renter, and
you're the landlord. You're the landlord, right?
Yeah, and she said something about sometime between the 10th and the 20th, I may be getting a check, but today's the 18th, and I still haven't gotten one. And
okay,
hold on,
Sam. Here's the deal: you should get it by Friday. Give it till midweek next week because they say they're sending them out by the 20th. So next week, call back. And I will personally go to bat and see if I could find out why you didn't get it. So give it one more week and call us next week.
And I hope the landlords will tell the tenants. If that relief goes to the landlord, presumably
they'll both be notified.
Okay.
So the check goes direct to the landlord so the people don't spend it, but they'll both be notified.
Good.
So fingers crossed. They told her correctly. Should be coming right away.
Next week,
Sam.
Hopefully
she'll get it.
We'll give it a try. Tammy, you're on WGN. What's your question, Tammy?
Hi, yes. I live in a 55 and older community. It's a trailer park, and we're paying for it. And we just want to know the land, you know, that we have on. We have to pay, like, over $500, and no one's willing to help. So is there any way that I can, you know, get assistance for the lot rent?
That happens to be a great question. And, Tammy, I know who to ask about that. But I don't have any. I have not seen that mentioned anywhere. So you're talking about your land lease rent for your trailer park home. I haven't seen that anywhere. It doesn't fall under rental, I'm sure. But let me work on it. And you post that question at AskTerry@TerrySavage.com, and I'll make an effort to see if there's any special program that the landlord companies are coming up with. Okay?
Good. Do that. It's TerrySavage.com. Ask her. She'll post about it as well. Tammy, good luck. We're going to work on that for you. Karen, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Hi, Terry. I have a question about the unemployment, the 13-week extension, and also the 20-week extension that the governor you know, has put into effect. My regular unemployment is going to be ending very, very soon, and I'd like to know, does the up to 13 week federal extension kick in automatically in Illinois? Do I just keep recertifying as every 2 weeks as I have been doing? And then the 20 week, when will that start? Will I have to reapply for that? Or again, does that just automatically happen and I just keep recertifying as I have been?
Well, first of all, start by recertifying because the 13 week extension should be automatic. Okay. And the governor's extension is a little bit mystifying to me because I will have to research that too. I haven't been sure whether that is on top of the 13 week or instead of it. So it's, a couple of people have asked me and I didn't really get around to looking at it, but for sure the 13 week should come automatically.
Okay, great. Yeah, because the 20 weeks, as of yesterday when I looked on IDES's website, there is really nothing about how the 20-week extension is going to work, and there's a very, very unclear message about even the 13-week extension. Yes, I mean, I had planned to keep recertifying, and I'm going to do that, and hopefully everything will work out for the best. So,
I have a feeling that I am going to be doing another round of anxiety calls run out. So it's on the top of my agenda. IDES, doesn't talk to me. So it's a problem.
I'm glad to hear you called, Karen. Thank you for joining us. 309 texted in to say, John and Terry, thank you so much. This is for you, Terry. Providing the information about the emergency rental relief program through IDPH, my 92-year-old mother-in-law lives in an assisted living facility, was owed about $5,000 back rent by nice renters that lost their jobs due to COVID. We made the application as you instructed. It took 3 months or so, but we got the check for my mother-in-law during the wedding. Not sure what wedding they're talking about, but the timing is perfect. We had no idea the status, but we're so thankful that it did come through, as my mother-in-law needed that income to pay her monthly expenses where she lives. Thank you so much for bringing this information to the public. You made a big difference. We're glad to hear that.
It makes us feel good. You know, we always forget we worry about the woes of the renters. All the landlords are the big companies that own big apartment buildings, and you see their name, you know, publicly traded companies. A lot of them are people just like you who said, I don't like this stock market. I'm going to do something serious. I'm going to have a 4-flat or 2-flat, and I'm going to collect the rent, and that's how I'll live in retirement. So the landlords have the same big problem as the people who can't pay their rent.
Let's see if we can help Tom. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Terry. I got a question for you. I was talking to my son about 3 weeks ago. He's a social worker in a school district, and he's got his student loans. Okay. And when the loan becomes forgiven, okay, he says he has to pay a tax on whatever's left. It's like, like income or gift tax or something.
Okay.
He called it a black tax.
Well, let's back this up. Right now, there's only one loan forgiveness program. That's a public service loan forgiveness program. And it is so badly administered that of the hundreds of thousands of people who might have otherwise qualified, they made such a mess of it that maybe 8,000 people have gotten forgiveness. Typically, when someone forgives a loan or a debt, you can be obligated to pay income taxes on that because it's
considered
sort of like income you've got. Okay. Right now, there are at least 3 or 4 plans being touted or discussed under what potentially could be a new Congress, could potentially be controlled by Democrats, to do everything from A, forgive $10,000 worth of loans, B, forgive $10,000 of loans for people who go into some form of public service, and it wouldn't have to be the crazy program that they created that no one could get through right now. And then there was a goal someone put up to erase $50,000 of student loans. So you will have to wait for the next Congress, but one of the things I'm sure, if they get it through Congress to forgive student loans, I'd be willing to bet that they will not suddenly make that forgiveness amount taxable. And there currently aren't forgiveness programs now, and you can't go bankrupt on student loans. So it's what they call a moot point. We can't discuss it yet. Let's see if they come up with a program, and I bet they're going to cover that issue of taxes.
If it's a federal loan, at least he has the advantage of forbearance through the end of the year. Has he been paying that loan, Tom?
No, he's been paying at it. He's been paying.
Well, the point is you don't have to pay your payments on your federal student loans through the end of the year right now. So
right.
If you've lost your job, you can use the money for something else. And it hasn't been determined going forward what will happen to those, you know, and it's supposed to be added on to the end, and interest is not accruing. So if you can't pay your federal student loans right now, it doesn't really matter. But the issue is how many student loans are out there that have high interest rates that have been accruing interest for years, and people haven't made a dent. So it's going to be a public policy issue under the next Congress.
I would say after the first of the year, call us back. I think a lot of you will be in that boat. It'll be interesting to see what forbearance or forgiveness programs come with a new administration and whatever version of Congress we have. TerrySavage.com is the website. You can ask her questions there, too, and we'll revisit all of this next Wednesday. Okay, Terry?
Thank you, John.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Let's zoom into the WGN Radio Newsroom now. This is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Three airlines that have seen huge drops in international travel plan to start trials of testing every passenger for COVID-19. United Airlines says it will do a trial on passengers going from Newark to London. American Airlines and British Airways announced their trials also for passengers between the U.S. and London. United started its pre-flight testing program on Monday. Oak Brook-based Ace Hardware is reporting a record third quarter. U.S. same-store sales climbed 28.9%, an increase of 221%. Revenues were $2 billion, an increase of 30% from last year. The company credits people maintaining and fixing up their homes during the pandemic. Garrett Popcorn Shops is expanding into grocery stores for the first time. The company says it'll begin selling 6-ounce bags of four new recipes. They include s'mores, Simply Strawberry, Simply Cocoa, and Simply Matcha. Retail outlets include Binney's Beverage Depot, Big Apple Finer Foods, Potash Market, Sunset Foods, and Pete's Fresh Market. Prices vary by retailer, around $6.49 per bag. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom comes your way in about 8 minutes. Dennis Rodkin joins us, residential real estate reporter at Cranes. You can visit chicagobusiness.com and read some of his writings. Let's talk to him right now. Hey, Dennis, welcome back. How are you?
Great, John. How are you?
I'm doing really well. You were writing about COVID-era amenities as kind of a real estate trend. What does that mean?
Well, it's people who, I was specifically looking for people who made changes to the home in order to sell it, made COVID-era changes to the home in order to sell it. Some of them were very simple. For example, a family in Glenview had converted the first floor office into a classroom, you know, furnished it with desks and that sort of thing, and they thought they should take the desks out in order to list the house, and their real estate agent said, no, 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 no. People are going to see that and think, oh, this house comes with a classroom. There was also a house in Lincoln Park where the people have an alley on the garage, and they put down a new, cleaner, softer floor, hung some equipment, exercise equipment on the walls, and so you can roll up the door and have an exercise studio with fresh air, or you can, they can also entertain in a nice socially distanced way in this open garage. So those are the kinds of things that people are doing. We're not yet seeing massive remodeling in order to get your house sold, though people are certainly making changes to a house they're going to stay in. But I think if this lingers, we may see homes that people make substantial changes to in order to sell them.
I know Michigan's advertising to Chicagoans to buy a house there, and you are writing that there's been a run in southern Wisconsin on lake homes, right?
Yeah. Lake homes in southern Wisconsin, in Lake Geneva, all over Walworth County, Lauderdale Lakes, those kinds of places, people have been snapping them up. And one of the differences I found in that market from, for instance, northwest Indiana and southeast Michigan, is that people tend to be buying them as sort of a second home that I can, I shouldn't say bounce back and forth to, because of course we're trying very hard not to do that sort of thing in this current climate, but it's going to stay as my second home, but it's available to me at any time during the pandemic. So if we're both working at home, the kids are at home, we can use that house. It's a, for many people in the northwest suburbs, it's, you know, less than an hour's drive.
Okay, I'm going to drive to the most Instagrammable alley in Chicago. I didn't even, that sounds like a contradiction in terms, but go ahead.
Well, so that's exactly the point, and I hope you will go. It's right near Roosevelt and Western. This is such a sight. Right now there are 15 houses. There will eventually be 30 on two sides of the alley. It's the 2,500 block of Polk, brand new houses being built with in the $600,000 range, each with a garage on the alley. And so what the developer did was have connect with a gallery that deals with mural artists, and each one of those 15 garage doors, and as I said, eventually 30, has a different mural. The idea was they wanted to be a place you're more likely to hang out there with your kids, talk to your neighbors, use the alley as open space. Some of this is going to result in we're sort of helping to patrol our neighborhood and our alley, but it also means that there's also sort of a purpose this serves. When I pull into the alley and I see 15 identical garage doors, I may forget which one is mine, but if I'm pointed toward the one with the giant katydids painted on it, I know exactly which one is mine.
So where is that again?
It's the alley behind the 2500 block of Polk Street. So it's just north of Roosevelt off Western.
I'm sure the people that live in that neighborhood are thinking, thanks a lot, Dennis. That's just what we need.
Yeah.
Just a parade of cars. The castle in the let's do the castle in the sky penthouse, which is on the market for $17 million.
$17 million down from 24.5. Took a big price cut this week when it came on the. It was listed sort of privately. It was not on the open MLS at $24.5 million. The man who's owned it since 1975 has it on the market, and it came on publicly this week at $17 million. This is an amazing thing. I think you've probably got the pictures in front of you, John.
I do.
This is the top two floors, really, of a penthouse of a co-op building at 1500 Lakeshore Drive. It looks like an Italian villa was built on top of another building. It has, you can see, it's a U-shaped home with 5,000 square feet of lawn outside that U. So it looked as if you're overlooking the lake, but you're actually about 20 stories up.
Looks like
there's
a public
a
facility. Yeah, it looks like a public place. It's a private place. And we got to go, Dennis, so I'll just ask people to go to chicagobusiness.com and read about that and the connection it has to Princess Diana, because that's a nice little wrinkle.
That's a good one.
To your story. Dennis Rodkin writing about residential real estate for Cranes, chicagobusiness.com. Okay, nice to talk to you, Dennis. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, John.
WGN Radio News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is next.